Our study continues in the midst of the 18th chapter of Judges. We are now involved in the story of the men of Dan going up to Laish to conquer that city. And while they're on the way, marching from south to north in Israel, they pass by the house of Micah, and the five spies have already been here before, and they've already been blessed by these gods that Micah has. And so they've decided they want to stop and acquire these gods. And then the 14th verse of this 18th chapter, they say, "Do you know that there is in these houses an ephod, and a teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you have to do." Micah had made these images, this teraphim, which was a group of small images. He had hired a Levite and consecrated him to be his priest so that he had his own private house of gods and his own private priest. And these five spies knew about this, and so they wanted to acquire this. And they said, "Now therefore consider what you have to do." They'd already decided that it was necessary for them to have these religious articles to take with them on their trip to the city of Laish, where they were going to engage in warfare with those people. Although Micah claimed that he was worshiping the true God, still these objects of idolatry were idolatry. They were not anything that could be pleasing to God. He had a rival house of gods, which would rival the tabernacle at Shiloh. He had a Levite that was not originally a priest, that he had taken and made a priest, which was not according to God's will. God had laws regarding this that Micah wasn't following. He had taken these idols, these images, and set them up to represent holy things, and God never intended for this to happen. This is a definite violation of the second command, not to have any graven images of anything that was in the earth or in heaven. He had making this ephod, which was a priest's vestment that he had no right to make, so that Micah had really transgressed in a very grave manner the true worship of God. Even though he claimed to still be worshiping the true God, he was in great transgression. And these men from Dan, they saw this, they were affected by it, and they also wanted to have these objects of religious devotion, and they went about to take them. So verse 15, "And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man of the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him." So here this army of 600 soldiers is coming right up to Micah's house. They see the Levite, they salute him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. So they stood here right by the gate now, and they are occupying the attention of this Levite who is serving as a priest to Micah. Verse 17, "And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war." So while they entertained the priest outside at the gate, the five spies who knew exactly where things were, that had been here before, they went inside and took the graven and molten image, the ephod, and then had confiscated these articles of religious devotion. Verse 18, "And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye?" So when the priest saw what was taking place, he saw that they were taking these things that were supposed to be holy articles of religious devotion that he was hired to take care of and he was hired to serve with. He asked the question, "What do ye?" Verse 19, "And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest." So they just told him to keep quiet, not to ask any questions, not to make any noise, not to cause any kind of a confusion or a ruckus about this. As a matter of fact, they made the offer to him, "You come go with us. Not only do we have these articles of religious devotion, then we'd like to have you as the priest go along with them." So they're going to make a clean sweep on stealing from Micah. Now, not only were they violating the second command in taking these images to use as religious artifacts, but they were also violating the command not to steal. And idolatry has, right hand in hand with it, the violation of other commands. The idea of being covetous and taking that which is not ours, and the inordinate desire for gain, is also referred to as idolatry in the New Testament. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And so stealing seems to go hand in hand with the worship of these idols. And so they have no conscience whatsoever about stealing these things. And the very nature of idolatry seems to be revealed here. Sometimes just the exposure to idolatry, just seeing things that are supposed to have some kind of a religious significance, supposed to symbolically represent God, or even things that are supposed to have some kind of religious power about them, spiritual power. And of course they did regard these as having spiritual power, for these five spies had consulted them before as to what their success would be, and were told by the priest that they would be successful. And so they've really been made to believe that this is truly a holy thing, that these are true spiritual beings, that they do have some kind of great religious significance, and they want them. And this is the nature of idolatry. A person can just be exposed to it and begin to believe in it, and the first thing you know, he's taken up with it. It just becomes a part of him. And it's strange that it's so much easier to fall into the hands of the idolaters than it is to fall into the true and right ways of God. But this just seems to be the nature of it. This is the constant working of the devil. He is ever active in trying to spread his doctrine, his idea, his concept upon the people, so that they then will be his servants rather than to be the servants of the true and living God. We should also note that had these been true gods, they could not have been stolen from Micah. If Micah were faithful and true to them, if he did not violate any of the articles that they set about for him to do, then they couldn't be stolen from Micah. They would have enough power, they'd have enough ability to prevent themselves from being taken away. And that's one thing we'd like to note about the God that we have, the true and living God. Nobody can steal God from us. Nobody. God cannot be taken away from us against our will. The only way that God leaves us, the only way God turns away from us, is because we so sin, we so turn from him first, that he can no longer tolerate us. But it's not a matter of somebody coming in and stealing God from us. It just doesn't happen with the true and living God. But it's happening here to Micah with his idols. They're being taken from him. And the priest, who is so fickle, who has a nature to want to roam anyway, is also being persuaded to leave and go with these Danites. They further persuade the priest this way. It says, "Go with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" Now, what did you rather do? Just stay here and be a priest to one man and only have that amount of prestige that goes with just being a private gentleman's priest? Or had you rather go be a priest to a whole family, to a whole tribe? You got a chance here to really improve yourself. You can be the priest of a tribe now. And of course, by increasing in numbers, certainly this Levite could look forward to gaining more money, getting a better salary, because he could maybe charge individually for each one that he administered to in spiritual things. And so this was a great opportunity for him in his line of work. And this was very appealing to this priest. Verse 20, "And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people." So he took them up on this offer. He just agreed that this was the right thing to do, especially for himself. And so he took these images, the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and he went in the midst of the people. That is, he stood in the midst of this group of 600 soldiers. Probably one of the reasons he did this was to prevent Micah from seeing him. And they might have also been imitating the original travels of the Israelites through the wilderness whenever the priest in the tabernacle traveled in the midst of the people. This also shows that this priest was a hireling, that he was ready to turn and go where the wages were. When the going got a little bit rough, he didn't make any defense at all of his position here, any defense at all of these religious artifacts that he'd been hired to take care of, but he took them and went with those that would pay more money. And so this is the true nature of a hireling. And we find that there are those today who claim to be ministers of the gospel, but their primary purpose is to have a job of work. And they'll go where they can be paid the most. They'll go where they can get the most glory and the most credit, just as this priest did. Micah hadn't defrauded him. Micah hadn't changed his wages, hadn't taken anything away that he promised him to have. They had an agreement between themselves. But this priest gladly violated that when he saw something that looked better to him. Verse 21, so they turned and departed. Now that's this 600 soldiers. They're headed on north now up to the city of Laish for their intended objective of conquering that city, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. That seems that they were so confident of success, that they were so confident of resettling as they go up to Laish and having this country for them to dwell in and use, that they've got their whole families with them. Their little ones would be the children, then the cattle, and the carriage. This word carriage really could be translated as luggage or baggage. So they were fairly well burdened down and couldn't travel very fast. So when they left this house of Micah, they could easily be overtaken, and we'll see that Micah did this, for they have quite an entourage going along with them. The little ones, the cattle, and the carriage, or the baggage. Verse 22, and when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. So the neighbors of Micah gathered together with Micah, and they were alarmed over this loss of these religious artifacts, and so they overtook the children of Dan. They were going to see if they could persuade them by some means or another to give these things back. They wanted the graven and molten image and the ephod to be returned to them. And so they gathered together to help Micah, and they overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan. So as they would be approaching this army of 600 soldiers with all of their families and entourage, they cried unto them. And the soldiers that would hear this first would be the ones in the rear, which might be the most fierce and brave of all the soldiers. And they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And they just asked Micah, what's the problem here? What's the reason for your coming at us like this with such a company? You seem to imply that there's something wrong. What is the problem? And he said, you've taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you are gone away. Now, this is, to me, a true indication that Micah regarded these things as being his gods. You've taken away my gods. There are some who think that Micah was still a true follower of the holy one God, that he never did leave the worship of the true God, but we have to know that Micah was involved in idolatry. He'd done things here that were not authorized for him to do. There's no way that God would ever have us to call these molten and graven images, this teraphim, which are the small images. There's no way that God would have us to refer to them as gods. There's no way that God would have us to get a religious attachment to these things, to look unto them for any kind of spiritual benefit or power. But Micah was doing this. He's violating the second command here. You've taken away my gods. And actually, he's also violating the first God, because he's having these gods before the true and living God. It seems that they have to take precedence. You can't have idolatry without letting them take the place of the true God, which they are doing to Micah. You've taken away my gods, which I made. Gods which he'd made. Now, this is another definite sign of idolatry. When we make something, it comes from us and doesn't come from God. It's an object of our own creation. Then it's not from the true God. The things that God gives us are things that God has made, not things that we have made. And the priest, and of course, he made this Levite to be a priest. He consecrated him. He wasn't originally a priest. And you are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that you say unto me? What aileth thee? And so he says, I don't have anything left. You've taken all. And of course, had he been worshiping the true and living God the way he should have been worshiped, they couldn't take him away from Micah. And Micah, of course, would realize that the true religious items were at the tabernacle in Shiloh. That's where the true priests were. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the cherubim were. And this then would have been the thing he should have been using instead of the things he'd made. And so he says, well, you've taken all from me. What have I more? And you say, what aileth thee? Why, you can see that I have good reason to be upset because of what you've done. And the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. So they tell Micah very plainly, we don't even want to discuss the matter. We don't want to even hear your complaint. We have no feeling for you, no regard for your possession. You're in danger of losing your life. If you keep on making these accusations, you're going to make somebody mad, and you're going to lose your life. Not just these religious articles, you're going to lose your life, and also the lives of your household. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. So Micah saw there was nothing he could do about it. He didn't have enough physical force to overcome this violence of the Danites, and so he went back into his house. Now, if this stealing of these religious items, these idols, if they could have made Micah to have seen that they really were idols, that they were not symbols of the true and living God, if they could have cured Micah of his idolatry, then he would have been very, very muchly better off. He would have been a victor. He would have been a winner. He would have been someone who had been given a great prize if this had caused Micah to turn back to the true God and worship him the way that he wanted to be worshipped. Even though a person is claiming to worship the true and living God, if they're worshiping him in the wrong way, that worship is not accepted. God will not have any part with that worship. We have the prophet Amos declaring this unto the children of Israel in Amos the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, where these people are worshiping God in the wrong way. He says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. So we see here that even though the people were worshiping God, they were having solemn feast days, they were singing songs to him, they were offering sacrifices to him, God wouldn't have any part of it, because they had mixed it with idolatry. It wasn't the true worship. It wasn't the kind of worship God wanted to have. So we have to believe that whatever good Micah got from these images was not something that came from the true and living God. God did not sponsor this. It was not according to his will. It was a definite violation of the commandments. And consequently then, there could be no good come of these things that Micah wanted to have so badly. And if this could have just cured Micah of his idolatry, then it would have been, in the long run, a very great blessing to him. Now, beginning with the 27th verse, we have the account of the conquering of the city of Laish by these Danites. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priests which he had, and came unto Laish. Now, they had a seemingly uneventful and successful journey on up to the city of Laish. And no doubt they could have interpreted this as a good sign that they had done the right thing, that these religious artifacts were serving them in good stead. And, of course, many times people do interpret their prosperity mistakenly as being a sign that God is blessing them and looking favorably upon their actions, but it's not always the case by any means. And so they came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And as we learned before, Laish didn't have any governmental authority. They were prosperous, and so they had grown very slack. They had no way to protect themselves. They had no guard. They had no one that was looking out for danger, and so they were quiet and secure. Everything was just fine. And so they're just like those today who are not prepared for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those today who will say peace and safety, and then sudden travail cometh upon them as a woman with child. So there's not going to be any escape when he does come, because if we're not ready then, there'll be no time to get ready. That's the way it was with Laish. They were quiet and secure. And notice the success that the Danites had against them. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. So they did definitely overcome the city. They conquered it, smote the people with the edge of the sword, so they were able to kill or wound any that would oppose them. And they burnt the city with fire. That is, whatever portion of the city that they felt needed to be rebuilt, I'm sure that's what they burnt with fire. And there was no deliverer. Here this city had grown complacent. It had grown fat and lazy. They no longer were making any effort for their defense. And so there was no deliverer. The Danites had come upon them. And of course it was the will of God for this tribe of Dan to have this city. It had been prophesied long before. And the people who occupied it were not following the will of God. They were living on borrowed time. It was God's original intention that the son of Canaan, the Canaanites, would only occupy this land temporarily, and that the true people of God would eventually come and take it over. And this is still fulfilling the long arm of that prophecy. So there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. They didn't have any alliance with any of their neighbors. They didn't have any agreement. They didn't help the neighbors, and so the neighbors didn't help them. No alliance with any man. And it was because of this self-assuredness, this self-sufficiency that they felt they had. They didn't need anybody. They didn't want anybody. They weren't going to obligate themselves, so nobody felt obligated to help them. And consequently, there was no deliverer. And when the time came for their fall, it was a great fall. It was a complete fall. And we see then the very great success of the Danites as they move up to take this city of Laish. They name it the city Dan, and it's known from this time on as Dan, located in the northernmost part of Israel. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.